You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor, 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, welcome to the Locked On Thunder podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G. We, of course, are doing this from the home of News Radio 1000 KTOK and 1340 The Game, and this afternoon, Sam Presti's going to be my co-host. You are going to hear a lot from Sam Presti as he had a press conference today, met with the media for the first time since the draft, and covered a multitude of topics. So we'll hear Sam Presti talk about Russell Westbrook, when he'll be back, when we can expect Andre Roberson getting back, what role he envisions for Dennis Schroeder, the legal issues with Dennis Schroeder, the culture change going on with the Thunder, or at least what the Thunder culture is like and what playing with Russell Westbrook is like and how good of a teammate is Russell Westbrook. That will get addressed today. And then Patrick Patterson or Jeremy Grant, who starts in that four role as the season starts. So those are the big topics we'll cover today. Real quick, I want to introduce myself. My name's Eric G. I've covered the Thunder for 5 years. I work for 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK. And a very big shout out to Randy Renner for gathering all the audio today for the from the Sam Presti press conference so we can play it for you. We will have the entire press conference up at LockedOnThunder.com at some point tonight. And then tomorrow we'll go back and revisit the press conference and hit on the things that we didn't get an opportunity to hit on today. If you like what you hear, please go to LockedOnThunder.com. We have our podcast archive and, of course, video and audio from players, coaches, and people in the front office. Sam Presti having his big press conference today, dropping a bomb on everyone at the end that his wife gave birth to twins. Congratulations to Sam. Maybe I should have saved that for later. Nah, get that out of the way now and tell Sam congratulations, and he's going to have his hands full for the next few months, not only with basketball, but now with the kids as well. Russell Westbrook, Andre Roberson, how soon can we expect these guys back? And when they are back, how effective are they going to be? Sam, take it away.
Well, first, we would never push Russell or any player for that matter, like, onto the floor because of a specific date. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the season starts on this date. So I think that would be foolish, and we've never done that. So we wouldn't start doing that now. He's going to be reevaluated. You know, it was a pretty minor thing that he had to have done. And he'll be back. You know, we'll see how that reevaluation goes. But then you've got to work through rehab to, you know, non-contact to contact to, you know, and then you got to get back to the level that you play at normally. So it's a process. But having Dennis is a kind of a separate thing, I think, than really that's not determining Russell's recovery. Having Dennis is great for us. I think, as I said before, there's silver linings in all of the different adversities that we faced over the years, even though at the time some of them have been hard to identify. But I think that's one of the things that we're most proud of is when we are delivered situations, whether they're within our control or not. Okay, how do we make this positive? How do we work on this? And I think with Dennis, I mean, he's going to get a ton of opportunity to work with Paul George, Billy Donovan, his new teammates. We're going to learn a lot about his game. To me, that's a great opportunity. Of course, it makes it a lot better going through that, knowing that Russell's coming back pretty soon. What can we scrape out of this situation to inform us of how we can be a better team? In some ways, it compartmentalizes things. You're going to be having to do a lot of things in training camp, and now, unfortunately, without Russell, that's going to limit what you can do with that. So it allows you to put that much more focus on building the infrastructure of the team without Russell and then allowing him to assimilate back. I feel like I should touch on Dre just because I think the next question is going to be on Dre. So I've done this long enough to just save everybody the time. So with respect to Dre, he's doing well. He's back on the floor. He's going to go through parts of training camp with us. Non-contact, so you'll probably see him shooting. You might see him doing some scripting. He's got to work himself from the non-contact part to contact, and then obviously he's got to get back to like performance, which would be game situations. I can't tell you exactly when that's going to be. We don't think we're going to be without him very long, but again, this is medicine. This is human performance. This is body. So sitting up here and saying this is when that's going to happen, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that he's doing a lot more this week than he was doing last week. And he's through the hardest part of this recovery process. And he's back with the ball in his hands and scripting things and on the treadmill and all those types of stuff. But then he's got to get to the point where we can put him in contact situations and comfortable with that. And once he passes those benchmarks, then he'll be able to get back on the floor in a competitive situation. So, but both of those guys, we feel good that we'll have them at some point relatively early in the year.
Why does Andre Robertson have a ball in his hands? Am I the only one that caught that? Hey, he's not going to handle the ball. He's not going to be he's not playing point guard anytime soon. And we certainly don't want him shooting unless that improves in the next few months. So just get him back on the floor, get him playing defense, and everything will be fine. As far as Dennis Schroeder stepping in for Russell Westbrook, and it's Schroeder, not Schroeder. And I know I've been mispronouncing that, and I've heard everybody say it both ways. So I like the fact that Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook can play very similar games because it's going to make that transition from Russell Westbrook or from Dennis Schroeder back to Russell Westbrook a lot less awkward for the guys involved. Now, it'll still be awkward some, and we've seen with the Thunder, you followed them long enough to know that when players are injured and they come back in the fold, it doesn't always happen. It's not an easy transition for the team and for that person. Russell Westbrook coming in for Dennis Schroeder should be a little bit easier simply because their styles are that similar. The other thing that I like about Schroeder, if he plays the role that the Thunder envision him to play, which they're not saying what that is right now, but if he plays that type of point guard, then when Russ is off the floor and Dennis comes in, guys will be able to assimilate as well. It's just it's not going to be that awkward. And as far as what Schroeder's future is with the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm still not convinced he's going to stay here past the trade deadline. I can be completely wrong, but I also get the sense that listening to Sam Presti, it's a long evaluation process for Dennis Schroeder. So from training camp all the way up until the trading deadline, they're going to have a good idea, and there's enough data in that time period to figure out if this guy's going to work with you or not. The first couple of weeks won't be a good judge, even with him getting opportunity to play alongside these guys during training camp. It's going to take time. And Andre Robertson, the sooner the better he gets back and some normalcy sits in for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Sam was asked about what they envision for Dennis Schroeder, and is he a guy similar to Reggie Jackson?
Well, I mean, so first thing with Dennis, the thing with him that really struck me, when you really start to dig into him and think about him, is the guy's 24 years old. I mean, he's younger than Steven. He's younger than Alex. He's the same age as Jeremy. He's the same age as who else is in that group? I was looking at it. Anyway, 24 is young. but he's got a ton of experience, which I think is really beneficial. So what kind of role do we foresee him in? I don't know. I think his skill set is really, really well aligned to the way that we and Billy, sees the team playing. And Billy specifically, like, really feels like paint attacks are going to be really important for our team. And Dennis is a guy that lives in the paint, and having multiple people that can do that creatively is, I think, an important part for our team. I wouldn't want to put any limitations or say you need to be this person. We have had a lot of success with a player like that, a dynamic ball handler with Russell. So I think there's opportunity there, but he's going to have to develop that. And he has a lot of work to do. I mean, he's only 24, and his best basketball is way in front of him. Obviously, for him, like, maybe the biggest impact he can have on our team right away is defensively. and he has the chance to be an elite defender, and we've got to get him back to that.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Sam Presti. You know, far be it for me to tell him how to run his team, but I do believe that Sam Presti wasn't 100% truthful there. I do believe that the Thunder have always asked guys to fit into the roles that they want to fit them into, and when they don't, they get rid of them. Carmelo Anthony, great example of that. He didn't fit the role that the Thunder wanted him to play. Reggie Jackson didn't fit that role. Eventually, James Harden didn't fit that role. And Jeremy Lamb, they do have expectations of where they think you can fit. And if you don't fit, you're on the first thing smoking. And that's something that Dennis Schroeder has to keep in the back of his mind, that if he wants to stay in Oklahoma City, if this is where he really feels the most comfortable and feels like he's got an opportunity to contribute, then he better fit and check all the boxes that Sam Presti has in store for him, because if not, then he'll be out of here just like a lot of other guys before him. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. I'm Eric G. Do yourself a favor. Grab your iPhone, grab your Samsung, whatever phone you have, and either go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and download the VividSeats.com app and get tickets to any Thunder game you want to get tickets to, either home, on the road. Get tickets to any concert you want tickets to. It is a great online ticket marketplace, and they've got a 100% guarantee, so your seats are always guaranteed. And in fact, we want to save you a little money here at the Locked On Podcast Network. All you have to do is enter the promo code Locked On, and purchases over $200, we will save you $20 on those. Want to go see Metallica? Want to go see Robert Plant? Want to go see the Thunder? Want to go see OU or OSU? You can do that at VividSeats.com. The app is quick, it is easy, and it's fun. It's fun to use. It's fun to just see what they have. I love it, and I'll be buying from Vivid Seats quite often this year, which will make my wife happy because she likes to go out and go to concerts. But that's VividSeats.com. Right now, enter the promo code Locked On and get $20 off orders of $200 or more. Coming up next on the Locked On Thunder podcast, what did Paul George signing say about the culture of Oklahoma City and playing alongside Russell Westbrook? We'll have that via the Locked On Thunder podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Sooners is out now as well, so please download that podcast at Apple iTunes, at Google, at Alexa, at Stitcher, at Spotify. That's Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Eric G. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. Sam Presti. And I can't believe this is like the third or fourth question Sam was asked today, but Paul George re-signs. And Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman did ask Sam Presti about the culture here in Oklahoma City and what Paul George's signing not only says about how Oklahoma City treats players, but what does it also say about guys wanting to play next to Russell Westbrook?
I don't know. I mean, I think I don't want to speak to for all the players that have been here. You know what I'm saying? But we've had a lot of players that tell us that they've had great experiences here, that they enjoy playing here. A lot of times by the way that those comments are made is because we're constantly asking them, like, what can we do better? Like, where can we improve? What does it mean to play for the Thunder? How do you want to be remembered playing here? What should it feel like to play for the organization? We want to know because we don't have all the answers. And I think everyone here could probably attest, if you've been here for 10 years, that we've really evolved as an organization, and we should. We've learned a lot. We want to be a learning organization. We want to constantly be pushing ourselves to figure out what we can do better. And I think we're always asking those questions. I don't know how big a factor that was in Paul's decision. I think it did matter, but we want to stand for more than what we do, and I think people can feel that. And we also need to own the fact that we don't have all the answers, and we got to keep working. You can never take anything for granted, other than not other than, but and the number one thing is like you got to realize that players are people, and they need support, and they also need. They need to be challenged as well at certain times, and you got to have some hard conversations with people, and you got to be honest with them. And I think that that's a big part of the environment we want to have. I don't think you can get anywhere in an environment where you're appeasing people, but I do think you can get very far in an environment where you have some empathy, some honesty, and some clarity. And that's all you can hope for. With Russell, again, like we don't are not totally exposed to the narratives because Nick Collis and I had this conversation a number of times. It's just like we live in the reality. So going outside of that to get insight doesn't make a lot of sense because we are actually living there every day. We know what's going on. That doesn't diminish the importance or the role of opinion, people writing or talking about. We want that. That is healthy. Like every time you guys cover the team, like that's so good for our organization. But the narratives that exist outside or why they're out there, those of us that work in the industry and that work inside the building every day, you know, we know like it's the NBA has become an incredible entertainment business. And I think one of the biggest challenges that every team has is keeping your eye on the ball. Not to use the Ted Williams example, but like to keep your eye on the ball of like, okay, what's important to us? What's really driving us to be the best we can be, to build a legacy for the organization? And how much is that distracting if we know that that's not accurate? So I don't necessarily think that people that have played with Russell uniformly would say that. Do I think that he raises the bar in some areas? He does. He does raise the bar in some areas. Do I think there's things he can improve on? Absolutely. And I think he would tell you that himself. I've never known him to resist, you know, honest, candid dialogue or conversation. I just don't know that. I've never seen him disrespect a coach. I've never seen him disrespect, you know, a teammate in a way that is pervasive. I mean, he's emotional. And that's the league we play in. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to take the emotion away from our players. But at the end of the day, we have to respect one another for sure. But that's, I think, Russell's a guy that shows up at Nick Collison's retirement party. You know, he's at Paul George's fishing event. He's behind the scenes at all those things. And I think that that stuff does matter. But he's growing, evolving also, you know. And that's the great thing about him is he wants to constantly get better. But
in other words, Russell Westbrook is a good teammate. He'll jump your ass when needs to be jumped. And he's getting a little bit better about maybe not jumping your ass when it doesn't necessarily call for it. He's learning how to walk away. That's the end. That's how all that translates there from what Sam Presti said. And listening to it at first, I was thinking, okay, so you're going to deny that you don't hear the narratives, but Sam didn't do that. Sam didn't deny that they hear the narratives, and I would imagine when you brought Paul George in. Now, granted, Paul and Russ had known each other from USA Basketball, and they had known Carmelo Anthony, but I would think anytime you bring someone in that doesn't know Russell Westbrook, you're still fighting that narrative because that is out there, and it is permeating in the NBA, and even if you're around the truth, you still have to do a good job of selling what that truth is so that people will buy it, be it Paul George or anybody else. So that's always going to be something that the Thunder have to live with because whether it's Colin Cowherd or somebody else, somebody will always find a way to knock down Russell Westbrook, whether he deserves it or not. And as far as the culture goes, Sam Presti, everything that Sam Presti said right there, it usually gets echoed by people within the organization, people like Enes Kanter. But here's the one thing that you got to keep in mind. It's like any other job. If you have a great experience at that job, it is a great place to work. If you have a crappy experience at that job, it's a miserable place to work. So you will always see the world through your lenses. And for a guy like Reggie Jackson, the Thunder wasn't so good. For Russell Westbrook, for Paul George, Enes Kanter, it's a great place. For Kevin Durant, who the hell knows? He's probably still trying to figure it out himself. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next, we answer one of the burning questions, or at least try to answer one of the burning questions. Patterson or Grant? Who starts at that power forward position? It's all right here on the Locked On Thunder podcast. The Best of Sam Volume 2 will probably be out, I'm thinking, around 6 o'clock tomorrow night. So you'll have this one and the other one to kind of double as weekend listening for all your Thunder needs. And don't forget, Locked On Sooners is out. We're building that podcast. OU gets ready to play Army, and you can get that podcast and all the other Locked On podcasts at LockedOnSports.com, at iTunes, Alexa, Google, Spotify. Locked On Podcast Network, or the Locked On Podcast Network, is your number one local podcast network. It's your team every day. We finish things up with one of the big burning questions for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that is, who gets to start at four? Will it be Jeremy Grant? Will it be Patrick Patterson? Eric Horn from the Oklahoman asking Sam Presti today, hey, do you end up starting Patrick Patterson because the dude can shoot better than Jeremy Grant and you need that extra three-pointer in there, or you need that extra three-point shooter? Well, here's Sam Presti.
One of the things that I think is really important in general, but with Billy, is we have to let Billy make those decisions. So, the other thing about Billy is he's always asking for opinions. he's a constant learner. So, it doesn't matter what role you play in the organization. He will ask you, and that's, I think, what makes him great is, he's curious. But at the end of the day, he knows that, he has to make the calls. He has to make the decisions. Like, he's in charge of what happens, once the ball's tipped up and once we're competing, he makes all the decisions relative to what happens between the lines. I know he likes both those players. So, Jeremy and Pat, yeah. So it will be interesting to see, what he does there. But the other thing is, I thought he did a really interesting thing last year. And this is one of the reasons why I think he's such a valuable piece to the organization. We had with Melo and Patrick and Jeremy, there's not a lot of minutes there at the four. And I thought that his ability to get Jeremy into that five position and find that created value for the organization. And I think that's a really, really important part to the role of a head coach in today's NBA, is you have to be able to carve your own pieces because of the and development being a huge component of that, because of the limitations of the cap and the system, and just how good the other teams are, how good the scouting is. Analytics have, it used to be that having the numbers was a huge advantage. Now it's not, you can get those off the internet, and now it's implementation of the numbers, and not just how you implement them, but you're implementing them against a field that's all using the same thing. So how big of an advantage is it now? So, Billy, I think, has always tried to stay ahead of that. And with, Jeremy, he found a way to create value, play him at the five. Now with Nerlens, who we think is a pretty interesting player for our team and our identity of play, we probably see Jeremy a little more four, depending on what role Nerlens plays. But just like you guys, I'm interested to see how it comes together. I do think that there's a lot to work with. There'll be some decisions that have to be made, but that's why, that's why he's the head coach, and I think he'll do a great job with it.
Make no mistakes. Sam Presti will decide who plays. Whoever Sam Presti wants to play that role will play that role. And not that I think that Billy Donovan has a diminished role inside the organization. I do believe he gets to make decisions, but ultimately it rests on Sam Presti's shoulders. So if Sam Presti believes that Grant is better to start than Patrick Patterson or vice versa, that's exactly what's going to happen. The other thing in layman's terms, Grant's versatile. We can put him at multiple spots, but now that we've got Nerlens Noel, I want him at the four more, and he is the future. Patrick Patterson is not. Patrick Patterson's a nice guy to have, but ultimately Grant's a guy that we're going to rely on much longer than Patrick Patterson, so you're going to see him get a lot of minutes. Who starts? I still think it's Grant. Maybe I'm wrong. I like the idea of Patterson starting more just because I believe the Thunder need as much three-point shooting as they can possibly get. That's the Best of Sam Volume 1. I'm Eric G. Tomorrow on the podcast, it's the Best of Sam Presti Volume Number 2, where we will talk about what kind of team the Thunder want to be. And we'll delve into that, and we'll let Sam explain everything. But until tomorrow, everybody love everybody, and peace, love, and thunder up.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.